If you got your Bibles, I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 15. Amen. Romans, chapter 15. Glory to God. Kathy preached on the God of hope the other day, and it was just such a blessing to me. I do listen to what she says most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time. But when she preaches, I listen to everything she says. And it's a blessing of the Lord, but there was something in that verse that caught my eye, because the word is pregnant with revelation. And I love revealed knowledge of the Word of God, because that's what works today. How many of you want something that works? Amen. Yeah, I want something that works. Now, I've said this so many times here, and I've said it all over the world. I don't like that God's going to do this and God's going to do that. Well, when is he going to do it? When are we going to receive what God said he's going to do? Amen. If he said by his stripes you were healed, then bless God, how come you're not healed? Amen. And if he said you're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in, blessed going out, then you ought to be blessed. Well, I'm waiting on what? You're not waiting on God. You got to open up your mind to receive what God says. He said, when you pray, believe that you receive. Amen. Believe that you receive. Yes. Not when you get it, but when you pray. Believe that you receive. Well, Kathy read this scripture, and I want to read it again and deal with something a little bit different in that scripture. And it's Romans chapter 15. I'm reading out the King James Version, verse 13. She was preaching on the God of hope. She said, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Notice everything's done through the power of the Holy Ghost. But there was something phenomenal that touched me in this verse when she read it, and it was this. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. That came out at me, in believing. People have called me the apostle of joy, I guess, since the day I started preaching the gospel. People say, why are you so full of joy? Because I have something to believe in. I have joy and peace in my believing. I love believing. I enjoy believing. Most people enjoy receiving. But see, receiving, you get it. But mind, when you're believing, the world's your oyster. You can suck it out the shell. That's for you Cajun people. Y'all understand that. Glory to God. The joy in believing. Believing something. Because if you don't believe in something, you'll fall for anything. I've heard someone say that. That's not an original thought of mine. But I mean, it's so true. I enjoy believing. See, some people consider it hard to believe, but I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded. So it doesn't make no difference if it comes yesterday or it comes 20 years from now. The fun of it is in believing. Believing what? Believing what the Word of God said. The Bible is a recipe for your whole life. It has wonderful treats in it, sweets in it. Lord Jesus, it's good stuff. And every day you can receive a revealed knowledge of something God wants you to do. So the title of this sermon today is The Charm and Challenge of Believing. There's a charm to believing, and there's a challenge to believing. So if you're taking notes, I want you to write some of these things down, because I thought I couldn't preach a Father's Day message. But you know what? Every one of you children, how many of you have a father? Hold your hand up. Now, how do you know that's your daddy? You believed it. Oh, but I look like him. Well, a lot of people look like each other. That don't mean it. You just simply believe what your mama and your daddy said. Right? Because you can't remember when you were born. You believed it to such a degree that a love was created that would last not just in this lifetime, but for eternity. The charm and the challenge of believing. Let me read that scripture again. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. What do you believe? You see, the reason why you can have joy and peace in believing, because if you're sick, by stripes you were healed. If you're having financial trouble, all you got to do is enjoy and believe in the believing. And God said he'd supply all your need. He said, if you delight yourself, therefore in the Lord, he'd give you the desires of your heart. That is something to really enjoy. If you got children not quite living the way they should, it's their tough luck they were born to you. You got the promise of the family down to 1,000 generations. Now you think about that for a minute. 1,000 generations, which means simply this. If you enjoy believing that, they're going to get saved whether they like it or not, because they just were born to the wrong couple. That's what my mother used to say all the time. It's your tough luck you was born to me. You're going to get saved whether you like it or not. And she saw it before she went to heaven. The joy and peace of believing. The charm. I like it. The charm and challenge of believing. Let's deal with the charm of believing first. I want you to write this down. There is no peace anywhere in all the earth except in believing. Think about this. When you believe something, it makes you happy. If you tell a child they're going to Disney World tomorrow, they have no evidence to the fact today that they're going. But because they believe it, they're happy all day. They go around the neighborhood telling everybody, we're going to Disney World. Where you going? Well, we're going to see Cinderella and all that kind of stuff. We're going to enjoy ourselves. See, there's a charm to believe. See, there's a charm there. It's a wonderful thing to believe the Word of God. How can anybody ever get depressed with the Word of God? Now, you see, if you believed in the Word of God as much as you believe in your trouble, you'd be alive. You'd be totally over your trouble. I've had many opportunities to fail. I just don't believe in failure. I don't believe in the Kobayashi Maru. Anybody a Star Trek fan know what I'm talking about? Hold your hand up if you understand what I just thought. Look at the people. He spoke in tongues. And, no, that ain't tongues. No, that's James Tiberius Kirk. You don't believe in the Kobayashi, the no-win scenario. See, you got to understand that I really believe that's a spiritual concept. There's no such thing as a no-win scenario. Why? You just create the world you want to walk in and just enjoy believing it. I've had people say, why don't you ever get depressed? Because I'm enjoying believing. I just enjoy it because I know in whom I have believed. Yeah, but you can't see it. I don't care. I prefer the trip than the destination. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. I enjoy the journey. See, that's the charm of it. You get to see a lot of stuff on the way, going the way you're supposed to go. I'll never forget the first time I went to Colorado. My Lord. I mean, my God. And I went on a hunting trip. I wanted to go hunting, and I wanted to hunt. But my God, going, I never seen the Colorado Rockies like that. We were driving. I thought, man, I enjoyed the journey. See, I enjoyed it more than I did the hunt. And after I got my elk and everything, I just went out every day and just sat out on the mountains and looked around. It was a charm to me to see things I'd never seen before. The journey. And then the journey back. I saw stuff in Louisiana I'd never seen before on the way coming back. So let me say it again. There is no peace anywhere in all the world except in believing. You see, a person filled with the gospel has no room for fear or despair. Write it down. A person who's filled with the gospel has no room for fear or despair. I've been down in 3 airplane crashes. I was not in despair and I was not in fear. Why? Because I was charmed by the scripture that says, long life will I satisfy you. And I wasn't satisfied yet, so I wasn't going to die. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Yeah, but. Now get your butt out the way. That's your problem. You understand? I didn't care what the devil was going to do. I was charmed by that scripture, that long life. Well, when are you going to go to heaven? When I get satisfied. But I'm not satisfied yet. See, it was a charm. And it had nothing to do with fear. Had nothing to do with despair. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Listen to me. See, how many of you want to smile all the time in the midst of trouble? Just believe the answer like you're looking at the problem. Don't deny the problem. My God, but certainly don't deny the answer. Let me say it again. A person filled with the gospel has no room for fear or despair. See, so I don't have any room for that. So when the devil comes with fear, I say, you got to go next door. I'm not here. I'm filled up. No vacancy. You understand? Full up what? With the charm of believing. I know in whom I have believed. You see what I'm saying? When I was growing up, I didn't know if I was ever going to get there. It took me at least 65 years to get to 18. In my mind, God, when I'm going to get 18? After I passed 18, it took 2 years to get to 65. It's amazing how time speeds up when you don't want it to speed up. But you know, it doesn't speed up. It's still running the exact same time. It's just that I wanted it more. You understand what I never forget when I became a man. I got a letter from the government. Gentlemen. That makes you wake up. All of a sudden, see, the draft was on. Vietnam, Lord, man, here we come. I said, oh, God, here we go. I never forget walking out there in a full bird colonel. First time I ever seen the insignia of a full bird colonel. He said, boy, we believe in you. I said, I don't believe in you. We're going to put you in a rice paddy. I said, well, I've eaten a lot of rice. He said, you're going to fight for your country. I said, I've been doing that today in New Orleans. It was an amazing, it was just amazing. I always thought that if you had a hole, it would cause a leak. They were taking blood out of my arm in this hole, and they were doing blood pressure in the other arm. I said, don't you think you're going to mess up the pressure? There's a hole going out. There's a hole. They said, shut up, boy. Just take it. Made you sit down on a cold marble floor with no clothes on. Anybody, how many men remember that when you went to the custom house? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you were going to be inducted or you had to get a physical. My Lord. I never forget that. But you know what? I had made up my mind, and I hadn't been to any other country then, but I had made up my mind that America was the best. And you know, people that hate us still want to come here. You know why? Because America has a belief system. We tell children, what do you want to be when you grow up? You can be anything you want to be. You can be the president of the United States with a name called Barack. You can be anything you want to be. It don't make no difference what color, nationality, creed. See, that's a belief. There's a charm to that. Think about that. Why? And you're not filled with despair when you're filled with belief. Are you getting this? Are y'all enjoying this? He said, joy and peace in believing. See, everything works and lives by believing. Write it down. Everything works and lives by believing in something larger than yourself. Everything. Spiritually, physically, financially, works. Let me say it again. Everything works and lives by believing in something larger than yourself. People say, how come you're so confident? I believe in something larger than myself. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Say, everything works and lives by believing in something larger than yourself. You know, when your child looks at you and you tell them something, they say, okay, because daddy said it. Or mama said it. Or big mama said it. Now, for you white people, that's the grandma. Black people have big mama, then they got grandma, I guess. See what I'm saying? But when mama said something, see, I knew when daddy said something, it was going to come to pass. But when mama said something, I knew I was persuaded. You see? And I just knew it. And there was no doubt at all. None whatsoever. I remember the time that my dad didn't tell me many times to fight, but I had a bully come at me one time when I was a kid. I must have been about, I don't guess, 8, 9 years old, something like that. And this, I was a little scared of the guy because he was big, you know. I was always short and small, but this boy was pretty big. And my daddy said, what are you afraid of? I said, he big. He said, get you something that makes you bigger. I got a revelation that a baseball bat will make you as tall as you want to be. So I got me a baseball bat, 30 inch. Walked up to Terry and said, Terry, I'm not taking no more hassle. What? Pop! It was a great day. Now, kids don't do that. But it was a sinner. And my daddy called himself a Christian, but he always kept his baseball bat close. Well, I mean, my God, they called a school. I mean, they called my mom and dad to come to the school. I got there, Lord, I waited, but they said, this boy hit this boy in the head with a baseball bat. My dad said, what the boy's name? Oh, his name is Terry. So I told him to do it. You got any problem with that? And I could see the revelation on that principal's face. I might get hit with that baseball bat myself. I better just shut up here. But he's not supposed to hit people. Well, he's not supposed to bully people neither. He said, I promise you, this boy will never bully my son again. And how many times I'd go to baseball practice and the school would come out and I'd be like this and Terry would be in the stand. I'd turn around and go. Oh, oh, oh. There was a charm in believing. How many of y'all have had some of those kind of experiences? Hold your hand up. Don't lie. Lift your head. Look at the people. I got a bunch of hitters in here. Glory to God. Everything works and lives by believing in something larger than yourself or larger than itself. And that when you believe, see, you get God's attention. When Nimrod and his heathen crowd believed they could build a tower, it got God's attention. So if a heathen can move God with believing, certainly you can. So I have joy and peace. Joy says I'm excited. I got something to believe in. Peace says I have it, which is possession of adequate resource. Write this down. This is the charm of believing. Believing gives you power to enjoy what's around you. Believing gives you power to enjoy what's around you. To be cheerful is a duty you owe to God. Let me say it again. Believing gives you power to enjoy what's around you. To be cheerful is a duty you owe to God. See, I enjoy this. Even though I may not have something I'm believing for, but it's so much fun to believe it. I have a great joy and peace. I have a duty to God to be happy in the situation. Let me say it again. Believing gives you power to enjoy what's around you. To be cheerful is a duty you owe to God. I owe that to God. I have to be happy. Sometimes I don't want to be happy, but that I just rebuke unhappiness. And then when discouragement and disappointment comes in, I go, whoa, I don't believe in that. So why am I even considering that? I consider the apostle and high priest of my profession, Jesus Christ. So when sickness comes, I go, whoa, 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 whoa. Let me get some enjoyment in this. By his stripes, I am healed. I have a duty to say I am, not I will be. If you ever see Brother Jesse walking around with a cold, I don't say I am sick. I said I'm healed. Well, I got to enjoy, I mean, taking the enjoyment for the answer instead of the problem. You see, I have a joy and peace that God's word can't and will not return void. How long does it take? Where are you going? It doesn't make any difference how long it takes or how short it takes. Just walk in the enjoyment and the peace of knowing that God's word is true for you, spiritually, physically, financially. I have to put that into place every Easter, because every Easter I get up and think, at 8 o'clock or 8:03 is when my mom went into heaven. See? And it wants to put something on me when it should be one of the greatest days of anyone's life, where we celebrate the resurrection. And every Easter I hear that voice, I'm alive. And that ain't Jesus talking. That's mama talking. I believe that and know that. I have a charm in it. You understand what I'm saying? So that doesn't mean that those things may not come against you, but I have that charm of saying, hey, I'm going to see mama young. I'm going to see mama the way daddy saw her, 15 and 16 years old, young. All I remember was gray hair and mad. I guess when you live with my daddy, you're my life. See, I was mad about something. Hey, I'm like, blah, 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 blah. Went on one vacation in my life. One vacation at 12 years old to Chattanooga, Tennessee. Went to, what's the name of that? Lookout Mountain. Yeah. First hotel I ever stayed in. And daddy destroyed the whole vacation that day. Walked out in the hotel, had a swimming pool. We were poor, man. I said, a swimming pool? Oh, we're going to stay in a hotel. And the bellman came out and said, sir, can I take your bag? And dad said, no, let her walk. That was the end of that vacation right there. He said it was a joke. It was no joke. She bought us two tomahawks, one for my brother Wayne, one for me. Leaned over to me. She said, if you want to hit your dad in the head with that, you're welcome to do so. I thought seriously about it several times. That's a true story. But you see, believing gives you the power to enjoy what's around you. So even when troubles come, I'm not enjoying the trouble. I'm enjoying the answer that the trouble is going to get in just a minute. And it's a shock to the devil when you knock his socks off. Yeah. To be cheerful is a duty you owe to God. See, this is the charm of believing. I get excited about it. Glory to God. My daughter, Jody, she's back there. She called me this morning. She said, hey, Dad, happy Father's Day. You're the best father in the world. I said, I'm your only father. She said, I can't come back on that, Dad. That's right, that's right. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I like it when my granddaughter calls me grandfather. Lord Jesus. Now, Jody has never called me grand yet. But Meredith got the revelation. Grandfather. Lord Jesus. Which just opens up my wallet for the blessing to flow. What a blessing. You see, I owe God a duty to keep a smile on my face. And people say, well, did something happen today to make you happy? Yeah, the scripture. I read something today. Glory to God, man. And I'm enjoying believing it. So when you understand that charm, and then you understand that joy, then you understand that peace that passeth all understanding in every area of your life. I like that. Now the God of hope, oh Lord, fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Now let's deal with the challenge of believing. Write this down. Believing is not merely consenting to certain truths. Believing is not merely consenting to certain truths, but it is believing with the heart unto righteousness. See, it's believing with the heart unto righteousness. You might want to write this down. Truth does not come in a bucket. It comes by degrees. You can't get it all. Jesus said, I'm the way. If he's the way, you can't get lost. If he's the truth, you cannot be deceived. If he's the life, the devil can't kill you. But it comes by degrees. Like growth comes by degrees. I mean, when you're born, you're not born a whole man or born a whole woman. You're born a baby, but there's every bit of ability in that leedy beady baby. My God, to who you are today. Think about that. That's amazing. I remember when Jody was born, I would hold her fingers and look at them little fingernails. I thought, how could God make such a small little fingernail? It was perfect. It was perfect. I couldn't get over that. I thought, look at this. You know, and sometimes, she, you know, and I would just look at her fingernail. I couldn't get over how perfect it was. But you know, it all comes by degrees. Her fingernails are bigger today. And you don't have to worry about it. No, if you don't have none, you can go to a store and get some. Make them as long as you want. That's what Kathy tells me all the time. I'm going to get my nails done. Which ones? She just goes, I'll never forget one time. My Lord, she freaked me out. Kathy, I was kind of concerned about nails. She didn't like her nails because they were soft. So she'd eat Jell-O, like as if that helped. They say it's supposed to help you if you eat gelatin or something like that. I don't know if it did. Anyway, this is before I had my own plane. She dropped me off at the airport one time. And I saw her. She had all her nails done. Boy, I mean, it looked nice the first time. This is years and years ago. And I said, God, Kathy, your nails look good. She just took one. She said, you want one? Just took it off. I've never forgotten that. I said, what other parts she's going to take off after a while? Good God. Believing is not merely consenting to certain truths. But it is believing with the heart unto righteousness or right standing. So I believe that even when I don't feel righteous. Even when I make a mistake, let me help you. Even when I sin. I mean, do you sin, brother? Yeah. I don't want to, but sometimes I just blow it. There's been many times on 310 and I-10. I did at least 10 things that wasn't right. Oh, you, the same way with you. Some of you heard me say this one time. I was driving. Look, man, I'm doing the speed limit. Actually, I was 8 miles over the speed limit. And a kid didn't think I was driving fast enough. Drove and got on the side, put his window down. I looked. He said, pull it over, Q-tip. He called me Q-tip. I went, I'll clean your ears out, sucker. I could feel Tabasco sauce coming up out of the accelerator into my leg. I said, let this suck. If I catch, I'll tell you one thing. We get some traffic. Come on. Let me have traffic at William Boulevard. It's the funniest thing when you have road rage. They got the windows down. You don't understand what each other said. Then you figure they can't hear, so we're going to use some sign language. Oh, that make you mad. That's the challenge of believing. The Lord said, let patience have its perfect work. I didn't want to hear that. Believing is not merely consenting to certain truths, but it's believing with the heart unto righteousness. Now, I said that to say this. A believer. How many of you believers? Good. Weighs the consequences before any experience occurs. A believer weighs the consequences before any experience occurs. Or in other words, the charm and challenge of believing. Jesus had a challenge. One time he was preaching. I guess went long, and the disciples said they got too many people out here, and the people are hungry, and we you need to get rid of them, and they need to get out of here so they can buy some groceries. Jesus looked at them and said, well, you feed them. See, Jesus turned a consequence or a problem into a picnic. When are you going to turn your problem into a picnic? But we don't have much. He didn't either. He had a 2-piece fish dinner. Now, he could have said, well, good. God, what do you expect? I can't feed all this crowd. I'm with you, Peter. You're the man. Run out of here. No, he said, I'm going to take this problem, this trouble, and I'm going to turn it into a picnic. Amen. And he turned it into a picnic. And he prayed over the food and gave it back to him. He said, now feed the people. Amen. Isn't that amazing? I think some of you, it's time for a picnic. Amen. You see, that's the challenge of believing. But if you add the charm to it, a picnic will come. Let me say it again. A believer awaits the consequences before any experience occurs. Write this down. Life is to be lived by divine carelessness. Life is to be lived by divine carelessness, traveling happily to your destination. I had Pete get so mad at me. You don't care about nothing. I said, you're right. He said, casting all your care. I'm careless. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Yeah, but what? No, no. See, you're trying to come up with, the devil's trying to put something in your mind so you can speak it and formulate your future. Because what you say is what comes to pass. But I live in a divine carelessness. Casting all your care. Let me just help everybody. I am not good enough to generate the amount of money it takes every month to operate Jesse the Planet's ministries. Amen. I am spending hundreds of thousands of dollars today. Right now, as you sit in this church, all by faith, sign contracts saying I'm going to spend this money. I'm going to pay these people. People say, how come it doesn't bother? No, I'm living in a divine carelessness. It's the charm of believing. But the challenge is when the bills come in. And how many times Brother Copeland loves it, Kenneth Copeland loves it. He said, I love what Jesse says about TV bill. When I get him, I go, Jesus, you got mail. See, it's a divine carelessness. Casting on you. Well, how come you don't worry about it? How come you don't care about it? Because that's a form of pride. You saying God can't handle your business, so you got to take it back from God and worry about it? Uh-oh. Think about that for a minute. I refuse to care. I didn't say care wasn't there. I said I refuse to care. What helps me like that? My faith in believing? Yeah. In what? Believing that he will supply so you'll have a job. How many of you work for me in here? Hold your hand up. There is no evidence to the fact you get paid. It's all done by faith. Hold your hand up if you work for me in here. Have I ever been late on your salary? Hold your hand up. Wave it. No, never have. Isn't that amazing? You know who's done all those years? The Lord Jesus Christ. Through a divine carelessness. Which makes the church world mad. Who do you think you are? Enjoying my believing. Which keeps my staff paid. Which keeps the TV bills paid. Which keeps LP&L all excited about these lights. See, it's a divine carelessness. Life is to be lived by divine carelessness, traveling happily to your destination. So I just walk happily to my destination. Let me say it again. This is the challenge of believing. Life is to be lived by divine carelessness, traveling happily to your destination. Now write this down. Believing is directed. The title of this message is the charm and challenge of believing. Believing is directed, pardoned, and sustained by a supreme being. Believing is directed, pardoned, and sustained by a supreme being. The Holy Spirit guides you in all truth. You heard me say that? All truth. Now, I'm going to say something that's going to shock you. Here we go. I don't have a lot of belief system in mistakes. I could say that. The Holy Ghost came up in right there. Why? I don't make many of them. Oh, I'm making people mad now. I'm going to get some ugly letters when they play this on television. I don't make many of them. Why? Because my answers don't come from my mind. I have the mind of Christ. My answers come from how be it when the Spirit of truth has come. He'll guide you in how much truth? How much? How much? How much? How much? How much? Now you see people say, "That's arrogance and cockiness." No. I'm just not moved by my mind. You ever notice you can sleep better on Sunday than any other day? You notice your kids, you got to beat their brains out to get them out of bed on Sunday. Saturday up at 4:30 in the morning with a box of cereal looking at cartoons. Sunday, they got to go to church. Satan leaves them alone. He don't want them going to church. Let me say it again. I don't make many mistakes. Whoo, that's going to make somebody mad. Let me jet right in the camera. Put it on my face right here, boys. I don't make many mistakes. Why? It's called obedience to the Spirit of God. And every time I have made a mistake, it's because I disobeyed that Spirit that directed me, pardoned me, and sustained me. I'm guided by a supreme being. Whoo, Lord, you should have shouted right there. Do you see that? My God, that's the charm and challenge of believing. I've been told all my life growing up, you can't do this, you can't do that. They use the word can't so much that I thought it was can. I never expected to do anything. And guess what? If you don't expect, you don't deliver. I decided to change my destiny. I don't know if Jody can remember this. One time Jody said, "Daddy, it seemed like everything you touch prospers." I said, "Jody, I create my world and then I walk in it." That doesn't mean I hadn't had trouble. No. That's all part of it. But I'm going for the title. Glenn's favorite saying. You like the title. The title shot. I just made up my mind. They said, "You can't build this building debt free." Three banks. Three. I didn't listen to them. Were they smarter than me? Probably. But see, I don't take much information from people that uses other people's money. Because if you got to use other people's money, you ain't got much yourself. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. See what I'm saying? I just made up my mind. No, I'm going to build this debt free because the Lord said I could. Now, you know, at the time I said it, I didn't have the money to build any of this stuff. Just that marble on that stage there is worth a ton of money. Just that. Just all kinds of things. But I enjoyed believing it in 4 years of doing this thing. It was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in my life. And when we walked in this building debt-free, the gainsayer, the doubter came out to see it. And you know what they said? I knew he said it, but I didn't believe it. And even sitting in it, yeah, but he probably won't be able to sustain it. This church opened up in what, June of 2000? I'm talking about this building, not the church. October of 2000. Yeah. Blessing of the Lord. One of the most amazing things. How'd you do it? I was directed. I was pardoned. And I was sustained. I enjoyed building this place. It was fun. It was great. When I built my home, and Richie back there, hold your hand up, Richie. Even though Richie is my contractor, he built that home. He's the one who had all the problems. Now, he thought I had a problem by paying for it. No. I enjoyed giving Richie money. Why? Because I had it. Richie would take my paper money and turn it into 2x4s and 2x6s and steel and air conditions and sheetrock and plywood and electrical stuff, all kinds of stuff. I said, "I got that much stuff for that kind of money?" Yeah. It was wonderful. It was actually a pleasure to me. I'd tell Richie an idea, and he'd draw it out on the concrete floor, which was meant for the ceiling. It was amazing to watch faith operate and function. Which brings me to the next point. Believing does not come by argument or logic. Write that down. Believing does not come by argument or logic. It is meeting life with joy and peace that no one else shares. Don't come by logic and argument. It is meeting. Let me say it again. Believing it does not come by argument or logic. It is meeting life with joy and peace that no one else shares. I've walked there. When I go into hospitals, Lord Jesus, you think the Messiah walked in there. I very seldom ever go to hospital. When I start walking, every once in a while I'll go visit somebody, because that's pastoral duties. I'm traveling all the time. But not long ago, I went to that hospital in Kenner. I had never been to a hospital in my life. Well, that's a pretty nice hospital. The only one I've always been is East Jefferson Hospital. You know, something they got, or auctioners there, you know. But none of that hospital in Kenner. You should have seen. I couldn't bear to get through the door. I didn't know that they valet park at a hospital. Son, they waiting on you, huh? They're waiting on you to be sick so they can valet park your car. Well, I didn't know they valet park, so I saw the first parking lot. And I thought, now, where is the entrance to this place? So I just parked it upon and started walking. My God. When I got, it said valet parking. I said, valet parking? I guess they think y'all want to stay a while. And it was two guys there. One guy said, you Jesse Duplantis? I said, yes, I am. I need to talk to you. I said, I'm going to see somebody. I need to talk to you. I criticized you. I said, you did. Yeah. I didn't believe in that prosperity stuff. I said, I can tell you valet parking. Ain't nothing wrong with valet parking. But that's a beginner job.
Amen.
Ain't nothing wrong with working at McDonald's.
That's right.
Let me tell you, people working at McDonald's, I know, do I think you ought to get the minimum wage ought to go up? Sure. That's common sense. But that's not your permanent job.
That's right.
Now, if you want to make McDonald's your permanent job, own the franchise. That can become your permanent job. Oh, somebody got to own that store. Somebody got to own that joint. Say, he looked at me. He said, I criticized you, and I want to apologize. He started repenting to me right in front of everybody. The guy's talking to me. He's repenting. People trying to get their car parked. This guy walking to me and gave me $2 to park his car. I don't doubt people say, see, he takes money from people in hospitals. I said, that's your money right there. He said, I apologize. He said, I totally misread the scripture. I said, yeah. Yeah. I said, well, that's all right. Let me pray for it. I prayed for him right there. Now, you know, when you want to get your car valeted, you don't want to move. Man, people pray. They just bow their head. I said, let's just pray together. People go. I just prayed for the old boy. Pat him on the shoulder and said, see you soon. I said, so I walk out. Man, I got lost. I mean, I'm going down hallways trying to find. I said, man, I wound up in places I ain't supposed to wind up in. Man, I thought, where am I at? And this lady says, my God, you Jesse Duplantis. I said, yes, I am. Can you tell me where room? And I was going. I was looking for Ron Fortune and Bia, trying to find that place. Man, I couldn't get in there. And they said, can you pray with us? I said, well, sure. I mean, all of a sudden, people coming out the rooms. Can you stop here and pray for them? I thought, man, Ron's going to die before I get to his room. Well, he wasn't dying. No. Finally got to his room. Ron was kind of sleeping like that. And Pia was there. And she said, oh, come on in, brother. She wasn't expecting to see me. I said, hey, just come to pray with you guys. And Ron woke up, and we were talking like that. You know, they're going to do some tests and things of that nature. Now, and I look, and I learned this from Kathy, you know. So this guy comes in like this, and he said, Mr. Fortune, we got to do some tests for you. Pulls this thing. He said, we got to take you down to another room or whatever, wherever to go. He said, yes, sir. So I looked at him, I guess. I said, well, Ron, let me pray for you. And I looked at him. I said, are you a faith? You believe in God? He said, excuse me. I said, do you believe in God? I'm going to pray for this man's healing. You going to believe God with me? He goes, yes, sir. I watch your television program. Go ahead and pray. I prayed in there like that. Then I looked at Pia, and she said, well, I'll just stay. I said, Pia, go with him. Wherever he goes, go. I learned that from Kathy. Because I went to a hospital one time, and I couldn't go nowhere without Kathy. Kathy wouldn't go, no, she wouldn't let nobody, they tried to take me, no, you ain't doing that. I'm going with it. Because he's going to have to come and tell me what y'all said, and he ain't going to remember. He likes drugs. He'll tell you, give me another shot just so he feel good. No, he ain't going to remember. I don't, you know. I go, well, whatever. Watch it. I walk out of that hospital. I must have prayed for 3 or 4 more people before I could get to the door. I walk out the door. Then there's a guy valeting the car. I got to pray for him. I said, I got to get to this parking lot. I walk down there, and some people getting out the cars in the park. Oh, Brother Jesse, I just knew it was the Lord. I said, okay, what do you want? Pray. And I must have prayed for 2 or 3 people in the parking lot. Nah, I got faith. I know they're not going to find anything. I said, they ain't going to find nothing. I said, go get it checked out. Believing doesn't come by argument or logic. It is meeting life with joy and peace that no one else shares. Write this down. Make sure you don't lose the wonder of the gospel by becoming an ecclesiastical mechanic. I'm going to explain that terminology in just a minute. Make sure you don't lose the wonder of the gospel by becoming an ecclesiastical mechanic. Intellectually stimulated, but not spiritually intense unto perfection. Let me say it again. Make sure you don't lose the wonder of the gospel by becoming an ecclesiastical mechanic. Intellectually stimulated, but not spiritually intense unto perfection. What do you mean, an ecclesiastical mechanic? You're so religiously brainwashed that you're not New Testament taught. You walk into a church with a problem, you walk out with a problem. You're in the church praying all the time that it's there, and you walk out with the exact same problem that you walked in with. You didn't receive any faith to help you get past what you was believing for. Half of the stuff you heard, you didn't understand. That's an ecclesiastical mechanic. Now, I don't mean this to be critical, please, so don't take it as such. But when you raised Catholic, all we knew was a nomine patri fili spiritu sancti. Bless me, Father, if I have sinned. It's been so many days since my last confession, and then you tell me if it sins. Now, according to the scripture, Jesus said to the bishops, what sins you remit will be remitted, what sins you retain will be retained. So they give you absolution, right? But they didn't tell you how to stop sinning. Because they don't know. That's the problem. See, they didn't tell you how to stop sinning. You see what I'm saying? They tell you, let's go over to the Pentecostal ranks. Come on, oh, come on, we believe in the Holy Ghost. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. But you know how the Lord is. Sometimes he does and sometimes he don't. That's ecclesiastical mechanic. The difference is he got two more sets of wrenches than the other guy. But he still don't know what he's doing. He don't know how to fix nothing. He can pray in the Holy Ghost and deny that God's word is true at the same time. That's an ecclesiastical mechanic. They're intellectually stimulated. I know what the Hebrew says and I know what the Greek says. But they're not spiritually intense to go on to perfection. I don't believe in that prior to stuff. That's an ecclesiastical mechanic. His limitation is what's in his wallet, not what's in the scripture. I know he said 36 and 104, but that's impossible to believe that God. As an ecclesiastical mechanic. If he can't fix it, it can't be fixed. I remember telling a priest one time, I want to talk to God. He said, you can't talk to God, you talk to me. What's the matter with you? You don't talk to God, you're talking to me. You understand? I said, but do you talk to God? No, I don't talk to God. I said, what do I want to talk to you for? I'm trying to get to the person here. See, intellectually stimulated, homiletical, hermeneutical, philosophical, theological thinking, PhDs, master's degrees, summa cum laude, magna cum laude, and just laude. Just can't get there. Because they formed a program and they can't see outside the program. You know what a man told me? I was talking to Nate on plane about this. And I learned this as a musician. And I have adopted it and used it in my preaching and my ministry. He said, and I use it in ministry just as well. I'll never forget this guy coming to me. He said, let me tell you something. He was a battalion guy. I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. He said, if the club is full, you don't sing to the people in the front pews or in the front chair because they like you. If you just spit, they'll scream. You sing to the ones that are in the back, way back there, the ones that want to cut your wires because you're too loud. He said, if you can get that back crowd, you got that front crowd. That's why you see me sometimes flowing in the Holy Ghost, and I just stop and go the other way. See, why? Because if I got that back crowd, I know I'm going to get Kenny. Kenny, oh, glory to God, hallelujah, Jesus, amen. Praise the Lord. Even get Nicole to hum a little bit. Get Kathy's dancing, Kathy. I think she's going, like she's shooting a basket, man. They go ahead, glory to God. You see that little black lady? Oh, man. One with the blue dress on. She was here. That's her. I liked it. I was watching you. I liked it. That was a blessing, Lord. I like that when people express their belief. It's the charm and the challenge of believing. It's not ecclesiastical mechanics. It's spiritually intense. I had a guy come up to me not long ago. He said, I got a word from God for you. I said, say it. He goes, you know. I said, I got it. I know. I don't know what it is, but I got the you know. I saw Kathy get spiritually intense one time at Victory Fellowship. Lord, she took off running. I said, where the woman going? Took off around the church. Whoa! I said, oh, Lord Jesus. Boy, she was coming down the aisle. And I go, I said, she going to dive into the altar. And like an Olympic person on a high board. Wham! And just dove into the altar. Slam, hit the floor, bam! I thought, my God. Now that is a spiritual woman. I couldn't get up. People were shouting. Some people say, I just think this is getting out of hand. You know, they get freaked out. But not Kathy. Man, I thought, God speaking to the woman. God speaking to the woman. Man, I need to hear something from God myself. Boy, she got off that floor. She kind of drunk a little bit. I said, what did the Lord say? She said, didn't my dress fly up? Care less about your dress flying up. I want to know what the Lord said. Did my dress fly up? I said, no, it didn't fly up. I know some of y'all saying, I'll never do that. You ain't never been touched like that. Some of you white people are going to go black one day. I know y'all. Some of you white people that don't move very much, one day you're going to go, ah, long, long. Some of you white people will get you lean. Hey, what's up, baby? It's coming. See, Nate's believing for the fullness of the Holy Ghost. It's coming. So I just thought as a founder, I might want to prepare you for it. It's coming. Well, no, it's here. Now, for you all in the back, hey, look at some of y'all back there. The Bible said he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. All flesh. Look at some of y'all. Y'all getting nervous now. Because when it hits, it don't have to be in the church. It can be in the car. I got hit by the Holy Ghost one time on I-10 on Lafayette. I didn't know a state trooper was behind me. Man, I swerved that crazy van over on the side of the road. Wow! Man, threw the door up and ran around the van 3 times. He just looked at me. Got out the car. I know he was thinking, should I approach this crazy man? What are you doing? And I ran to him. You don't run to a policeman. Whoa, 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 whoa. I said, God's in my van. He went, whoa, God's in the van. I'll never forget that. God's in my van. Man, I was crying. God is in my van. He said, well, slow down so you don't kill God. That's what he said. Got me caught and took off, boy. It was a great day. It was the charm of believing. God's in my van. It's amazing what policemen see. Can I tell you one on Jody? One of the funniest things Jody ever did in her life. She got her hair messed up. You know, sometimes a perm or something mess you up. And she was mad. She crying in the car. Airline highway. Oh, driving. I guess she's driving too fast. Cop pull her over. That's my daughter back there. Oh, yeah. That's all right. Hey, my God. He said, girl, you know, she said, I tell you what, look at her. I'm disturbed. What's your problem? She pulled that thing on. What do you think? He said, go ahead, girl. Just go and do what you got to do. I understand. Am I right? Something to that effect. Get out of here, man. Because when a woman hair messed up, don't mess with her. When the nails are flying off and the hair, all that kind of stuff, they don't have problems here. It's amazing. The other day, Ricky was so kind. He brought us some pickled quail eggs. Boy, them things are good. Now, Christine won't touch on them. She said, Rick said, you like, yeah, man. Because when I used, before I was saved, they used to always have pickled eggs in a bar. Anybody remember that? Hold your hand up if you remember that. Look at him. Bunch of ex-alcoholics back here. Yeah, boy, I remember that. Hey, I got somebody way in the back. Get to drinking, eating them pickled eggs, burping, killing people in that place, man. It's terrible. Boy, I saw Kelsey. Kelsey don't say too much, you know. Kelsey just kind of walks, you know. So I said, hey, Kelsey, you tried them quail eggs? 8, 9 of them. Or 4 of them, whatever. Oh, excuse me, 4. They're little eggs. They're just little. I said, them things are good. We can't get Christine here. She goes, See, she's not believing. She don't have any charm to it. See. It's a challenge to her, but she's going to get there. No, she ain't either. Now, I use that as an example. There's some things in the scripture that almost may sound like pickled quail eggs. But you need to eat them. Because when you eat them, they're going to turn sweet in your mouth. And you let God, from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, just bless you beyond your wildest dreams. Did you enjoy it this morning? That was Kathy's inspiration she gave me. She dealt with the God of hope, which was wonderful, but that joy, peace in believing.